Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Buck Brief. On this episode, we're going to be talking to Kate Gorka. She's got a book out with her co-author Mike Gonzalez, Next Generation Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It. First time with us here. Kate, great to have you on.
Hey, Buck, so happy to be here.
Give me a little of your background first. We haven't met before. I'm a fan of your esteemed husband, fellow radio host, Sebastian Gorka. How did you come to this? Like what, tell me a little bit about, I know Mike, but I've interviewed Mike Gonzalez before. Where are you coming to this from, an academic perspective or?
No, more real world perspective, I would say. So I spent a big chunk of my career focused on post-communism in Central and Eastern Europe. I started going over right after the wall fell, and I ended up living and working there for 18 years. So I met Sebastian, got married. We lived in Hungary for about 12 years. Then we moved back here. So in the meantime, I also worked for the Trump administration in the Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. Then I went over to Heritage. So I've always been active in the conservative movement, a lot of focus on sort of national security, post-communism, and met Mike at Heritage. And I just have to mention, I have a new job now, too. As of Saturday, I am the chair of the Fairfax County GOP. I just got elected to that position.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
So that's a battleground area. Fairfax, I would assume. Right. I mean, it's Northern Virginia. Right. It's like a communist stronghold.
It's the California of the East Coast. And I really believe in taking my anti-Marxism fight to the ground. You know, I really believe in living what I preach. So I got really involved in local politics. But yeah, so Mike and I came together at the Heritage Foundation. We were both really interested in this topic. You know, I went over to Heritage in 2020. We were dealing with the 1619 Project, right? Nicole Hannah-Jones, that the New York Times published, telling us that we're irredeemably racist as a nation. And then, of course, the COVID shutdowns and everybody's starting to see what's really being taught in schools. And then, of course, you have May 21 with the George Floyd protests and riots. And so, you know, Mike and I just kept talking about this stuff and saying, you know, we need to do a better job of explaining to people how we got here and we need to give them tools to fight back. So that's why we collaborated, and it's been a lot of fun.
I'm actually really curious just about something you mentioned. You were said you met Sebastian in Hungary. What years were you? I just wanted you to tell, like, what was it like, you know, when you were, because you were there pretty close to when I assume things were just getting going, getting changing. What years were you there?
Yeah. So I went over in May of 1990. So I was there. So that was about, 6 months after the wall fell. I was there for the first post-communist elections in Czechoslovakia. And I really focused on three countries, Czechoslovakia, it was still Czechoslovakia, Poland, and Romania. And over the course of a few years, I interviewed about 600 different people. So I was actually trying to write a book, which I haven't yet written, not that one. But I did a ton of research, and it was just an incredible time to be there. You know, it was so exciting. People really did not believe that communism was going to end in their lifetime. So there was just a huge excitement. But it was also, you know, a ton of difficulty. What do you do with all these former secret police and former communists? That was a very big dilemma. So that was a lot of what he and I worked on. And yeah, it was a very interesting time to be in the world. It was
fun. Was the atmosphere, the general atmosphere among people in Hungary after the wall came down, was it more like exhaustion and a recognition that they, you know, was it like escaping from prison for most people, or is it backflips, you know, the future is ours? You know what I mean?
No.
I'm just curious.
It was jubilation. It was unbelievable excitement and very, very pro-American. You know, the Americans got very involved all over Central and Eastern Europe, helping with the transition. It was actually like party atmosphere. It was very, very fun. Tons of expats. Just the world was opening up for them. You know, it was very, very exciting.
Very cool. Interesting. Well, I look forward to that book as well. That memoir.
One day.
Yeah, that's got to happen for sure. Tell me about Next Generation Marxism.
Yeah. So, you know, Mike and I, you know, this we had a great time doing the research for this book. And I think, you know, we both found a lot of things that we really hadn't known before, even though we're both deeply ensconced in this stuff. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand exactly what it is they're up against today. You know, so many people over the last couple of years have just looked at this situation and they're saying to themselves, how have we gotten to the point where we are ripping down our statues, tearing down our history, undermining our founding principles, and even doing insane things like putting pornographic books in kids' schools and telling children they can mutilate themselves? Like it's really almost incomprehensible. But there is a logical path that brought us here. And I think if people understand the path, it makes more sense. It will also energize them, I think, to want to fight back, because you then understand better absolutely how insidious it is. And it also helps give you the tools to fight back. What makes it next gen? Because that, you know, that's always the big question.
Okay, can I pause you for 1 second? I want to come back to, you mentioned the sort of progression and the pathway. I was hoping you could take us down that. But first up, just a quick word from our sponsor here. Bear Creek Arsenal. I'm a Second Amendment guy, and I believe in the right to bear arms. I've got a bunch of firearms here at home. I practice with them. I train with them. I trained with them back when I was in the CIA. I know something about guns, and let me tell you, if you're a firearms enthusiast or you have one in your life, you've got to learn about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. They offer a wide range of firearms, premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition has. How does Bear Creek do this? There's no middleman fees. That's how. Look, I've got my AR from Bear Creek here at home. It's phenomenal. And when you take it out to the range, you'll see for yourself. It fires so well. It's so accurate. The weight is perfect. Feels really good in my hands. And I'm already changing around some of the modifications on it to make it exactly how I want it to be, because the rail system is excellent. You'll see for yourself. Get yourself to BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. That's BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code buck. Get 10% off your first order. That's BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. All right, Kate, sorry, you were telling me about the progression the Marxist conveyor belt, if you will, and how it's taken us to this place of left-wing lunacy in America.
Yeah. So the important thing is, you know, you had the original Marx, which said the workers are going to revolt. But of course, they never did, right? Because what kept happening was the workers actually wanted to keep their jobs, right? And capitalism, actually industrialization, kept improving conditions for the workers so that, you know, they just, the revolt never happened until Lenin came along. And Lenin understood, if you really organize, and then if you also really make people feel aggrieved, you can bring about a kind of revolution. So you had that, you know, that whole phase. But here in the United States, it really did not ever take off. You had smatterings of communist sympathizers, but it never went mainstream, right? So there was this next moment, I would say, came about in the late 50s. So a lot of people don't know this. Harvard University actually brought Fidel Castro to come and speak to the students just months after he brought about the revolution in Cuba, which it still blows my mind. And, you know, we wonder why Harvard is where it is today. But at that point, this was the development of the new left, where the thought was, OK, the revolution's not going to come from the workers. It can come from the students. The students can be the locus of revolution. So, of course, we saw what we saw in the 60s, and it was very much wrapped in up with the civil rights movement. But honestly, if you look at what the Students for Democratic Society did going into our cities in the 60s and fomenting revolution, you know, I would say that the sort of the civil rights explosions of the 60s were really generated by the radical elitist students. Right. And that's a whole interesting story. So, again, the revolution failed, right, by the end of the 60s. So you had the student revolutionaries kind of split up into several different camps. One camp went completely radical, weather underground, right, terrorism, bombings everywhere. Another group went and really organized, and they're still doing that. And that's part of the roots of Black Lives Matter. And then another group went into the law schools, and they said, well, we're going to bring about the changes that we want by changing the laws. That was critical legal studies. But what they ended up doing was, after about 20 years, that led to a whole nother phase, which was critical race theory, that the people who started critical race theory came from those Marxist legal scholars. But they said to them, okay, enough of you white men, you're out of the game. We're taking it over now. And that was critical race theory. And so that was really 19. And what's so fascinating about this, that was 1989, right? The year we all thought that communism was dead because the Berlin Wall fell in Eastern Europe was actually, in fact, the birth of this new phase. And in fact, Mike found this incredible newspaper article in the New York Times that said, this is the year that Marxism has gone mainstream in U.S. colleges and universities. But, you know, we weren't paying attention because we thought it was all over because of what was happening in Central and Eastern Europe.
Kate, what is the best way to describe the reality of what we're seeing in this country? Is it cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism? I know Next Generation Marxism is the title of your book, but how do we describe... what is the ideology that somehow covers, you know, transgender surgery for 12-year-olds, radical race politics and BLM, and, you know, climate change, catastrophism, all? How should we refer to that? You know what I mean? What's the term that we should use?
It is a dilemma. Well, honestly, that's why Mike and I came up with this new term, Next Gen Marxism, because there isn't a term out there, right? It's not exactly cultural Marxism. I mean, cultural Marxism is Gramsci, right? Cultural Marxism is the argument that you're not going to see a spontaneous revolution, so you therefore have to go in and change the way people think. That's cultural Marxism, right? It's changing people's thinking. This thing, as you've identified, this thing that we're seeing now is really unique. It's really... I really would put its sort of start at 1989 with the emergence of critical race theory and this focus on these characteristics, race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, right? But, you know, aside from us coming up with this term next gen Marxism, there really isn't another term. And I just want to add, I do think it's super important that we do include the term Marxism in this. You know, not everybody will self-identify as a Marxist who's a part of this, but 100% it is Marxist in its roots. And that's important to understand because Marxism is a politics of hate. It is a politics of hate and envy and conflict. And it's so fundamentally un-American. It's really terrible.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Jesse Kelly, I think, has referred to it as the religion of malcontents, which I think is
that's great.
I think
yes.
is a pretty good description as well. I want to come back into more of this and also how we fight back, which I know is part of Next Gen Marxism, the book that Kate Gorka and her co-author Mike Gonzalez have written for us. We'll come back into that in a second. But, you know, here on the podcast, we cut through the noise, the nonsense, the ulterior motives out there and tell you the truths that you need to hear. My friend Mark Chaykin does the same thing, but he does it for the U.S. stock market. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years, and across those decades, he invented three new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says the majority of Americans are about to miss out on a critical turning point in this AI frenzy. And he predicts that dozens of specific companies will have huge moves in just the next 90 days. Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with you. He put everything you need to know in a new presentation you can watch for free at this website, 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com, 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics. All right, Kate, how do we win against these neo-Marxist commies?
Yeah, well, one of the great things that we did was going back and looking at history, was looking at what have we done successfully in the past. And one of my favorite examples was something called the Active Measures Working Group. Did you ever come across that in the work that you did? Have you ever heard about
this,
it?
I am familiar, yes, with Active Measures, yes.
Yeah. So the Active Measures Working Group was something that was put together by a group of young men back under Reagan, before Reagan even, to fight back against what the Soviet Union was doing. And, you know, we looked at lessons from that. And basically, you know, the important things are people, you need to find like-minded people. You need to come together. You need to share information about what's going on. No one's got, you know, a full vision on this, and we need to understand it. You got to find like-minded people. You have to come together to fight it. You have to be willing to speak out against it and call it what it is. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm seeing it happening around the country. One of the great things about my time at Heritage was I got to travel around the country working with the different parent groups that were starting to emerge back in 2020, 2021 to sort of take back their children's education. And I think it's incredible what's happening in this country. I'm actually really optimistic about where we're going.
I love it. Tell me more. You think we're actually going to win this thing?
Yeah, I do. I think the left has gone too far. You know, I think when they put our children front and center on the battle line, I think they made a big mistake. You know, I just even people who aren't super educated on this stuff, they get it in their gut that this is fundamentally wrong. This is destructive. It's un-American. People just, you know, I have to say, like, I've really come to realize, I think Americans are truly fundamentally kind and I'm even going to say loving, right? And Marxism brings in this culture of animosity, of anger, of, you know, being pitted against each other. And I just think it really goes against the American grain. And some people might get sucked up into it, but I think the majority of Americans don't. And because it's gone after the children, people are rising up and saying, no, you know, this is you've gone too far. We're going to fight back.
Well, that's very encouraging and important and profound insight. Before I let you go, Kate, and everyone should go to get their copy of Next Gen Marxism. Kate Gorka and Mike Gonzalez are the authors on it. Are you a coffee drinker?
Oh, absolutely.
So we have launched Crockett Coffee here on the Clay and Buck Show, Kate. And you can see I'm holding up a cup for anybody who's a YouTube or a Rumble subscriber. For Davy Crockett, American coffee. It's delicious. Celebrating the pioneer spirit. Go to CrockettCoffee.com. Kate, we're going to have to hook you up some Crockett Coffee. You'll have to tell us how delicious it is because we know it's delicious. But CrockettCoffee.com. We'll get that sent to you and Seb. And I want taste test notes back, okay?
You'll get it. Absolutely.
Alrighty. Thanks so much. Good luck with the book. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Buck.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.